You listen to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now they have the 2017 sports car blowout, Camaros and Corvettes. Only seven remaining. Price reductions to $20,000. No reasonable offer refused. Check it out right now, Lakewood Chev.
Let's get to the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail and 131st Avenue. Cars, vans, trucks, SUVs, you name it, at autocityedmonton.com. Ryan Rashog from TSN. Joins us now. Shogger, what do you even look for in the final 16 games here for the Oilers?
People not quitting. People playing with some pride. People not taking shortcuts. People not looking, not taking poor routes into the shooting lane. So as to not have to block shots. People not displaying bad body language. This is where you kind of watch for guys that, you know, are going to display some of the traits that, you know, you don't want to see at this point. I think it's important for them to, even though the hockey isn't as meaningful as they want it to be, to, you know, keep pulling on the rope. And I know it's hard and we've watched it over the years and it's difficult, but I think, and players are going to get frustrated, but I think, you know, there has to be some personal pride in the way you conduct yourself as a pro athlete in these times says a lot about you, in my opinion. So I'm going to be watching that, watching for guys who maintain the positive body language and still do all the right things. I think that's what the coaching staff's going to be looking for too.
So yeah, the coaching staff. But what about the manager? Is that something that ultimately the way that the players approach the final games, of staying in or out of the fight? Will that dictate perhaps who is, you know, maybe looking for a new home after this season, even though last year went so well?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. I don't think that realistically any final major decisions are made based on that entirely. I think what they did in the first 30 games of the year when there was a playoff spot on the line will be a more important body of work for them to judge off of. But I think if they're leaning a certain way on you and you give them even more reason by displaying some of those characteristics, I definitely think you can tip the scales. You know, like I think it can be kind of one of the final nails. So, yeah, I mean, I think Peter Chiarelli will be watching all those things. I think he'll be watching for those things from his staff and from all of his players. And I think, Ryan Strome's had an uptick here. How long can he continue that for? And how much will that help Peter Chiarelli in terms of, you know, wondering how much he can rely on the player for next year. Each player has their own individual story. And, I think that it's not the only thing that's important at this point, but it definitely adds to it.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Your thoughts on Ethan Bear?
Yeah, you know what? I thought the first game he was, you know, a touch nervous and it was a tough game and that was the Preds. And so, I mean, tough thrown right into the deep end of the pool. I really liked him in the second game, though. I thought that he doesn't look like he gets rattled out there. He stays fairly calm, which I like. I thought he started to skate around and move around out there with some real confidence in his stride. I like it. I like the way he moves around, actually. I thought he skated better in the second game and looked faster. I like his composure in the offensive zone. You know, he gets the puck and he's really looking to make plays or to create time for himself. You know, whether it's the head fake, the one really nice one that he had, whether it's just changing the shooting lane. He's got a real nice heads-up quality in his game in the offensive zone. So I think there's something there. I've been surprised at how much I've seen from him. And I think that it looks like there's real nice makings of a player there. And, yeah, good on him. I thought it was a really solid second performance. How about you guys?
Yeah, I really like the way that if he doesn't see a lane right away, he tries to create a lane. You know, and that sounds obvious and something that everyone should do, but it's not that easy under pressure. And, you know, he has that knack to do it. And once he gets that feeling of confidence where he's like, you know what, I will fire this instead of looking to or deferring to someone else, I think there's reason to be somewhat bullish on what he can bring offensively so far.
And I think that, we got a little bit of power play time. I'd like to see him with that top unit. I would.
You,
I mean,
put him on the top unit.
It's not
unit.
Like they're shooting the lights out. Why not? He's a right shot, and you need a right shot on the blue line on that top unit. Give him a look there. I mean, you don't even have to, whatever, throw him out there for one of the power plays and see. I think he's moving the puck with some confidence, and I mean, it's not like they're, yeah, why not? Like, why wouldn't you give it a go? I think if he continues to skate and play with confidence, to give him a go.
I'd try Matt Benning ahead of him. I think Benning has a really underrated shot. Number one, if you want to just look for a bomb from the point, but he's probably their best defenseman at getting pucks through from the blue line, which is something this team just, they don't get enough pucks on net.
Yeah, I mean, so Benning's had some looks there. And
yeah, but not really in the first unit, though, for the most part, right? Like, it's basically being Klefbom for the majority of it.
Well, they swapped it out earlier on this year for a little while. Benning got a little bit of time there. But listen, I think Ethan Bear is going to play one more game here. I mean, Adam Larson's on his way back.
Yeah, well,
I think Ethan Bear is going to play one more game here. Throw him in.
Yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant. I really am all about the confidence in young players. And I'm all for getting him a shot in the second. You know, give him a little action on that second PP. And see what that looks like. And then if it works well, I'll push him up. But I just am a little bit hesitant to put him up with a big guy, especially when maybe he, you know, because he's going to defer his game and look somewhere else. I mean, he got a little bit of power play time last game, but I guess if he's on the top PP unit, does he see anything more than, what do you have, 30, 35 seconds last game?
Yeah, I mean, if he is putting up another performance like he did the other night where his decision-making with the puck is good, and where he seems to be moving it pretty well. I agree with you, the confidence is important. And I think that first unit is better at getting the zone. I think that first unit is better at distributing the puck around. I think he'll get some good solid touches with it back there and see if he can make some plays. Look, I don't think you need to, you know, you're not hammering him out there every single power play for the whole night. And if it's a night where they're getting a bunch, I've seen enough from his work in the offensive zone to go, yeah, you know what? If it's probably going to be his last game tonight, it's not like the power play's killing it right now. Throw him out there for a couple shifts and see if he can make something work with that unit and get him out there with those more creative players on the first unit and see what happens. We're kind of splitting hairs. It's really not that big a deal. I'd kind of like to see it before he goes back down.
Ryan Oshawk from TSN joining us. See, that's our, I think the power play is a big deal. And by the way, Benning's only played 12 minutes with Connor McDavid on the power play. Klefbom's played 141. So I don't really think Benning's got much of a look realistically on the first unit power play this year.
So he's got 12 minutes. So he's played six, basically the equivalent of six full power plays, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, and Klefbom's played 141. Power play minutes on the top line, so it's
right.
Pretty significant difference. And I just, when their power play is as bad as it's been, I would look and sure, you could bring up Ethan Bear, but here's the reason why I wouldn't try Bear ahead of Benning right now. Who do you think has a better chance to help this team next season? Is Ethan Bear a player that you think, because the owners right now, they only get about two and maybe two power plays a game, right? So are you going to play Ethan Bear next season ahead of Matt Benning 5-on-5? And if not, I would play Matt Benning down the stretch.
But you're going to have Matt Benning down the stretch for the next 16 games or whatever they've got left, right? You're going to have him for those games, and you can put him on that power play unit all you want. I'm just saying, I'd like to see Ethan Bear there tonight. I mean, I think he's going back down to the American League here pretty quick, would be my expectation. And I've seen enough from him to say, you know what? It's not like Klefbom's knocking it out of the park back there. Why not? So you've got the rest of the year. It's not about, I don't even think it has anything to do with next year. It's just he's here. That's the type of defenseman he is. That's kind of the point. It looks like he's handling himself pretty well. So, man, maybe throw him out there and see what happens. But it's for one game. I mean, it's for one game for maybe even just a few shifts. But I'd be interested. I'm curious. I hope they do it. Maybe he'll generate something and give Matt Benning and those guys something to think about.
Todd McClellan asked him again today about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Said, hey, he's only played once. He was a little fatigued last game, so we're going to wait. A lot of fans are like, well, do you have to work that much harder playing with Connor McDavid? And so I understand the frustration. Realistically, at what point, like three games? Strutty said Nugent-Hopkins would need probably at the most a week to be up to speed. So he played Saturday. They play Monday. They play Thursday. So by this coming Saturday, you play him with McDavid. If not, I think it's fair to say why not?
Yeah, I think maybe they'll just wait till they go on the road and just give them, because what do they have here? A few more games before they go out on the road. And I could see him just giving them a few games to settle in. I think he's getting his back up a little bit with this whole idea. You know, he kind of said today, well, you know, McDavid over to Nugent-Hopkins and suddenly everybody thinks this is a great idea. And we're kind of going, yeah, no, we've been talking about this since training camp. So this isn't just because he made a nice pass that everyone wants to see that.
And it was 6-on-5, and I didn't buy into that. Sure, I agreed.
Yeah, like it's, yeah. I think it's to the point where Todd has probably heard this, and, you know, maybe there's some internal pressure to do it. Who knows? But I think he's going to give Nugent Hopkins a few games here. He clearly wants to play Draisaitl and McDavid together for right now, which I think he's doing again tonight. So as long as he wants to play Draisaitl and McDavid together, he's not going to rush Nugent Hopkins onto the wing as long as he feels like he's got to play those two together. And when it's time to separate those two, then maybe that's when we see it from Nugent Hopkins. But he needs him as a number two center right now if he's going to play those guys together. I think we're going to see it before the end of the year, though. I think it's his intention to do it. I think we'll see it, whether it's for every single game from a certain point to the end of the year, whether it's a five-game stretch, whatever they need to get a book on it, I think they're going to do.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting take a look at, because, you know, when I think of that, I think it really solves one of the problems. Like I'm guessing you agree with the centers. If it is McDavid, Draisaitl, Strom, and Jujhar Kyrou, that's okay. That's our four centers. And then if you can bring a winger up there with make a Nugent winger on McDavid's line, now all of a sudden you're sitting there and say, okay, we've got some things that are starting to be cobbled together, but you still have to fill in quite a few pieces. Like Cam Leary and Aberg as your second line wingers is not going to cut it at any level.
No. So, if McDavid is your first line center, and you go Nugent Hopkins on one side and, say, I don't know, Puljujärvi on the other. And if Draisaitl is your second center and you've got Lucic on one wing and player X that they're maybe perhaps going to acquire in the offseason, / maybe Yamamoto, but I don't think they're going to bank on that. And then you go Strom as your third line center with, yeah, maybe Kara. I see him as a fourth line center as well, but if he can push for third line minutes next season and be a third line winger, I think they're fine there. But yeah, there's some holes on the wing for sure. Even with Nugent Hopkins there's some holes. So, but that's why it's important to get all that figured out, right? Who can play where? Can Puljujärvi play this side, that side? Can it be a, you know, what positions can you put guys in? They got some work to do, no question about it. Not to mention, you know, what I think are still holes on the blue line. And the problem they have, there's not that many trading chips. I mean, they have needs in their lineup. You can only overpay in free agency so much. They don't have a lot of organizational assets to be trading around. The cup is not running over with assets and options here, guys. They have to try and plug holes in ways that aren't going to be easy. And it's going to take some creativity, and we'll see if Peter Chiarelli's up to it.
Jogger, we'll see you at the rink. Have a good one.
Okay, take care, guys.